We are taking back up our place in John chapter 14 after being away for a while from the passage. And this is still the last night that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was alive on earth. It's Thursday night. And the significance of that is that he begins to make grandiose promises. And he's already, in verse 12, said, greater works than I've done, you're going to do, and I'm going to the Father. And these, again, are not greater works in quality, but greater works in extent. We're all around the world, we believers, sharing God's word. Ordinary men and women doing the work. And we're reaching the globe. He was confined to Palestine. I'm sure that if he decided to, he could, from Palestine, do better than we did. But that's not the methodology that our Lord chose. He also said, I'm going to grant you the answer to prayers that you pray in my name. That is, prayers that I can put my name on, which would be prayers that are according to my will. And we're all familiar with 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So the matter is, if you're close enough, if you actually have prayed a prayer that is according to his will, he'll hear it and answer it. And so we need to get accustomed to the idea of when we pray, saying, nevertheless, your will be done, because we really don't know what it is. Every now and then we hit it, though, and we see him answering immediately. Sometimes the idea is we need to be broken down, that in not answering us, he is developing in us perseverance and strengthening us by testing our faith and stretching our faith. And that cycle that repeats all the time is very intricate to our growth. Tribulation work of patience, patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And what's the hope good for? The next time we face tribulation, which will work again, another round of patience, and patience more experience, and experience redounding to us in more hope. So he's developing us, he's growing us as we go along. Today we're going to examine just exactly how it is that he's not going to leave us as orphans, as we look at verse 18 together. And what is extremely important to us is verse 15, these promises that he's beginning to make. And again, this is his last night on earth. Before nighttime, before nightfall the next day, your Lord is crucified on a cross. What's extremely important is verse 15 in John chapter 14. And it says, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. And you'll see that down in verse 21, he's going to say it again. You'll see in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, the same thing reiterated. You see in John 8:31, he says, if you continue in my word, then you are really my disciples. That is, if you continue to obey it, then you are really my disciples. And that's the Johannine standard. So the question, if the question ever is, what is a real Christian? A real Christian is someone who loves the Lord and obeys him. That's his standard. He repeats it probably 30 times in the Gospel of John and in his three epistles and the book of Revelation. So that has to be in our minds as we consider what he's now going to say. So in verse 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. And by the way, I just have to say, prior to that, just backing up a verse or two, he said, I'm going to send, and I hope you don't get tired of me, I'm going to send a helper, a paraclete, another one not of a different kind, but another one of the same kind as I am. So Jesus is saying, I'm doing a work here, and I am the one who's sustaining you now. But when I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Now, the Holy Spirit has not fallen yet. The day of Pentecost has not arrived yet. So they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. And you'll notice in his language, he's pointing that out in the next couple of verses. And so this, he says, I'm going to send an advocate, is what it reads in verse 16. Some Bibles say comforter, some say consoler. One of the better translations says, in my view, friend. Someone who will help me get across the line. Now, I like to think of, remember I told you that football explains all of life? Pretend you're inside the 20, that's the red zone. The Holy Spirit's job is to get you in the end zone. And he's going to get you there. So today you'll watch a couple of games maybe. You'll see some people in the red zone that don't make it. Holy Spirit will get you into the end zone. So, in case you didn't know you're in the red zone, you are. He's called, verse 17, by the way, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. And you know, his job is to remind us. It says in chapter 15, verse 26, he's going to remind us of Jesus' words. He's going to suggest to us the best course of action. We're standing here going, I should say that. I'm tempted to do this. But the best course of action is that. And you're so accustomed to thinking that thought came from yourself, you're not giving credit to the Holy Spirit. He is the one who is suggesting constantly to you the best course of action. So you should stop and praise him for that. I'm so used to that thought process that subtly, in my mind, I've been taking credit for it. I need to repent of that. And maybe you do too. Again now, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. Or you see the title today, not as orphans. How is he going to do that? But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. Now he's about to die. But when he dies and goes back to heaven and he sends the Holy Spirit again has the job of reminding them of who they are and who's living in them. The Holy Spirit now will take up residence inside of each of them. He's indeed taken up residence inside of us. And he'll continue to be inside of them. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This is again looking forward to the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has not been poured out yet. Verse 21. Whoever has my commandments. Now I'm going to teach you a song. I may have sang it to you before. But the reason I know this verse word for word from the King James is because there's a beautiful chorus. And many of you have written me and called me and said, you know, I love when you make us sing without words on the screen, impromptu, and we feel awkward but exhilarated all at the same time. And I say, praise the Lord. So it goes like this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, and keepeth them. Come on now. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me, too high, shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will show myself to you. if you are such. If you love him, you can turn it around. You'll keep his commandments. If you keep his commandments, you're loving him. If you want for love of him, don't feel bad. Just confess it. Jesus, I have been wanting in the category of loving you. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the busyness of my life. Maybe it's the tyranny of the urgent. Whatever it is, Father, I ask you to forgive me. And I remember how that you love me. And his love precedes our obedience and it follows our obedience. We love him, the scripture says, because he first loved us. And then as we obey him, as a result of that, he manifests himself to us as sort of a reward for loving him. His love precedes our obedience to him, and it follows our obedience to him. Verse 22, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, because Judas Iscariot left in chapter 13, verse 30, to go get his 30 pieces of silver, or if he already had it, he went to go betray. I think he went to go get his money. Said, but Lord, this is a different one then. Said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. What Jesus is saying is that I'm not going to advertise. I'm not going to buy space on a billboard. I'm not going to go up and down the street in a convertible with a microphone and a speaker. I have put out my message. Those that respond to it and love me and obey, that's going to be my advertisement. Like one man said, I think it was Bill Gothard, who said, your job as a Christian is to deepen your walk with him, your relationship with him. His job, Jesus's job, is to broaden your ministry so that as you go deep in him, others are watching because you're unlike them. And they're going, how does she do that? How is he like this? And they will notice the Jesus in you. That'll be the advertisement. Judas just didn't understand. Verse 24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, verse 25. But the Advocate, the Consoler, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That verse in Isaiah 26 says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. I think it's Isaiah 26:3. When your mind is stayed or fixed on him, it's a sign, it's an indicator that you trust him. You wouldn't be fixating your thoughts on him if you didn't trust him. I'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. You heard me say, verse 28, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. He says that he's going to stay with us, and he's going to preserve us. And one of the things that he wants us to focus on is the fact that he's coming again, and the fact that it is soon. So he's giving you his peace. He's offering not to leave you as orphan. His Holy Spirit is taking up a place in you, and he is reminding you of his words, of Jesus' words. But he also wants us to be focused on the end, that he is going to come back. We need to brush that off and examine that from time to time. I remember when I was privileged to do the eulogy at my mother's funeral in 1989. We looked in Thessalonians, and we said that passage, it says the trump will sound, and the clouds will part, and the angel will cry out, come up hither, and we'll be gathered up with him so that we can join him in his triumphal reentry and rule and reign with him. It is something that, even though these are great promises being made to us, we need to add, I think, an emphasis on a thought towards his soon return. Now, for centuries, Christians have been waiting for his return. But we need to not be dismayed in the length of time. Each day that goes by brings us closer to the day when he actually returns. And so I admonish you to glom onto these promises, to continue to do greater works, to continue to pray according to his will and ask him and modify that with as your will be, may it be done. To relish in the fact that you can now pray to the Holy Spirit who's resident in you, but also to remind yourself that he's coming back for you, that the end is near, it's drawing close, and we need to always keep that in the forefront, to renew that. And that's an amen for today. Thank you, Lord, that you, on your last night, gave promises, but we also thank you that you qualified them. He that has my commandments. And so, Lord, help us to be ones who keep your word, in Jesus' name. I think that he talked about the Holy Spirit just prior to verse 21, where he says, he that hath my commandments, because he knew that we would not be able to keep his commandments without leaning on his Holy Spirit. So that's why he injected it there. So we need to limp along. Like I was in here, by the way, this week. Mike said something to me about my body changing it when I turned 61 or 60, I don't know, 62. Well, the next day, my knees started giving out again. But that's how we need to walk. I was in here limping. And that's about what it looks like in the spiritual realm. We need to limp. Father, I can't do this. I woke up again today, and I want to love you today. But you know my wandering heart. You know how I fail, how I come short. And I'm not ashamed to say, please help me again, because I don't have the strength to do it. So we have to live in utter dependence and walk with Jacob's limp. Ron.